This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday right here on ESPN 97.5. Talking football a little bit in the first hour, but plenty more to still get to. We're going to catch you up on some of the texts and tweets and things that we've been dealing with here in the station. Also going to get you talking a little bit about your Astros, who come away from Beantown with a 1-1 split. But after winning game one, a lot of people more than disappointed that they didn't come back 2-0, when at the start of the series, if I'd have said to you and everybody else, exactly, hey, you good with a split? I think everybody would have taken it.
Unless you had Astros in four, you shouldn't be disappointed. They did exactly what they wanted to do.
No question.
They went on the road and flipped the home field advantage. Steelers fan Juan said, I'm checking in near Lake Hickory, North Carolina. God, I love when the suspects listen to us all over the country.
Awesome.
How do the suspects feel about the Steelers win? Confident fan Juan instead of Steelers fan Juan. You should be confident, but also you should be real lucky, because that Antonio Brown touchdown reception was a pick.
Yeah.
That was a penalty.
And the NFL, of course, and this is the problem I have with the NFL lately, is they continually try to come and defend everything that has been called in a game, whether it's accurate or not. They were like, no, that's a legal play because it happened within the first yard and a half of the line of scrimmage. Come on, man. It's blatant.
Yeah. It was a pick. But, I mean, I thought the Steelers looked good. I also thought the Bengals defense looked bad. They were horrible at the point of attack. They were horrible tackling. It was just not a good game defensively for the Bengals. But I think the win makes it, you know, that division is up in the air right now, and I think it's ripe for the picking. It looks like the Steelers are getting themselves together. They're going to get Le'Veon Bell back pretty soon. So
yeah,
I would be, if I were you, Steelers fan Juan, I would be confident right now. That division isn't going to put up. I mean, you got to worry about the Ravens, but
they're not quite the Texans.
They have more talent than the Ravens. How about that?
Yeah, they're not quite the Texans, but yeah, everything has come. Every card has been played correctly and fallen into place for them to be as bad as they have been and still come out on top at the end of the year. They still have plenty of divisional games to go. Like you said, they're getting Bell back. Roethlisberger seems to have gotten right. Got on the same page as Antonio Brown, and their defense isn't great, but
no,
it's good enough.
They're going to have to get more pressure on the quarterback. They're going to have to start getting pressure
absolutely
on the quarterback.
And guys other than TJ Watt. But here's the thing, too. By no means am I saying that I feel great about that team being a Super Bowl contender or a team that's capable of a long run in the playoffs, but they are getting right.
And they have enough talent.
Yes.
Yeah, you're correct. They're turning it around, and they have some talent, so.
So I got good news.
Be confident. Juan.
Let's hold off on baseball till the end of this segment, because
okay,
it looks like we're going to get Blummer on. So Blummer with plenty to talk about after last night's game and what to expect in game three. Jeff Blum will join us after this segment, so that'll be great.
We need to ask him if he's seen the video of the alleged pine tar on the arm.
Already did, and it's on. It'll be queued up because, yes, he and I had quite the discussion.
So he's watched
the last
it already.
Hour.
Good, because I'd love to see. I'd love to get his thoughts on it, because at first I had one opinion, and then I changed. You told me I was an idiot, and
I did
so
not tell you were an
we'll
idiot.
Go back to it and see. I mean, you might as well.
No, I didn't. I just said I disagree. You did that to me earlier in the show.
Can someone explain to me why on the broadcast last night they kept blaming Maldonado for the wild pitches on McCullers? We'll talk to Blummer about that as well.
Okay.
Have no fear.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll save that.
Because that turned out to be a story. It didn't look like it was going to be an issue because they already looked like they were too far behind.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, the ninth inning happened.
Yeah. Somebody said, what about Blaine Gabbert? No, stop. No, Blaine Gabbert's not an option for...
Let's hope Blaine Gabbert pulls a crap show tonight,
boy,
please.
I just wanted to tell all the dickweeds hello that asked if this was the Blitz. That was from OU Mike. Doing his best Fred impersonation on the text line. It's Zach. It seems like every year the NFC East is two or three teams at 500 and one bum. Who comes out of there, and should others do a fire sell? NFC East, who's going to win?
I still think the Eagles. Look, the way the Eagles played, look, it was a bad Giants football team, but Carson Wentz looked great. That throw across his body in the back of the end zone between two defenders shows you that he's getting more and more right every week.
Mm-hmm.
Their running game is an issue, but there's still ways that they can try and do something to rectify that a little bit more. But their receivers are healthy. Their defense is coming, stepping up a little bit. And what everybody else has shown me is there's complete... one thing that's consistent in that division is inconsistency, and the only team that seems to be getting it right consistently right now is the Eagles.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like Dallas is set up because defensively, if they could get any kind of passing game going, they're not good throwing the football around. They can run the ball, but they can't pass the ball. They can defend well, but I think if they get any kind of consistent passing game going, they're going to be tough to beat because the Eagles just, I don't believe they are what they were last year.
So are you changing to my pick out of who's going to come out of the NFC East now?
To the Cowboys?
To the Cowboys, yeah.
I mean, I'm leaning.
I am not. I'm staying with the Eagles.
I'm leaning, but it's hard to, if you just won a Super Bowl, it's like, remember in the middle of the year when people were like, oh, the Astros are done. They're not going to, they're missing Altuve. They're struggling. Remember they lost like six in a row and everybody was panicking? I don't want to be like that on the Eagles because they are the defending Super Bowl champs, but they also can't throw the ball around. I think they're bottom third of the league in passing. They're middle of the road in rushing. Defensively, they're okay. They are what their record indicates. Part of the Cowboys' problem is they can't win on the road. They haven't won a game this year on the road, 0-3, and they can't throw the ball. So I think if they can figure some of that out, they have a legitimate chance of winning that division. But I'm leaning Cowboys, but I'm not changing my pick from the Eagles just yet.
Yeah, I'm staying with the
Eagles.
How about
that? Firm. Show me one or two more games.
Trey's spending too much time with you, Nicky.
Wait till week 16, and then I'll let you know.
I don't know if he's rubbing on you, but he's rubbing off on you if you suddenly
No, I remember when I initially gave the pick, both of you guys thought I was absolutely insane. Remember, it was
a
bad pick.
Well, I think you're insane for a lot of reasons, not just because
not
you picked
just
the Cowboys.
Of the pick?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go
I thought
Barry
you were insane
that.
Picking Tennessee, and I loved my man over here. I was like, oh, you want to make a side bet in the hallway?
I would have like, really...
Yeah.
I would have really taken one in the shorts there. There's
Bro,
no
when
doubt.
I saw the results, because I didn't get to watch the game, I looked it up, and I was like, holy bleep. Nick, I got to get these. I got to get the...
All world call.
Man! Not only did they cover... They beat them straight up exactly like you said they
would. But the thing
were.
Is, it was no play Genius. That I gave out or anything like that. I read like at two or three websites about why they thought it could be an upset. Then I had a guest on my network show, and he gave his reasons why.
Where's your network show? Tell people how they can get a hold
on
of it. Listen.
The Fan React Hour on SB Nation Radio.
When is it air?
Like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Well, then
Saturday.
We have some people that stay up late.
Yeah. But, yeah. And that's the reason. It wasn't no play. Believe me, if you trust any of my, if I give a play, you're going to lose money for sure. I guarantee you. But
nailed
I just
that,
looked
though.
At I just looked at some of the websites that really believed why that they could pull off the upset, and then I had a guest on that gave his reasons why, and that's the reason why I did that.
You nailed it.
Yeah,
I'm being
but I also said
you.
Washington was going to absolutely kill Oregon, and look what happened. So,
well, I mean, nobody's going to go perfect. Oh wait.
Oh god.
Hey, I have a sneaker question for you, and I know we're gonna get to break here in a second, but
okay,
you
sneakerhead,
you own Air Force Ones, right?
A lot of them. Yep.
Do you have any Air Force Ones?
I haven't owned a pair in maybe 10 years.
So you have? You know, I've never in all of my years on this planet, I've never owned a pair of Air Force Ones.
I mean, they're nice.
So I'm gonna buy some.
I think they look good.
They're not comfortable, are they?
I think they are the equivalent of the Jordan 1. It looks good, but
which
it's
you're
not
wearing,
a real,
by the way.
Yeah,
I like the ones you're wearing.
It's not a real comfortable shoe. The Air Force
Ones. It's the equivalent of a woman wearing some high heels. Like,
yep.
they look nice, but
in
they hurt your feet.
In a lot of ways, that's a great analogy.
Yep. I've never worn Air Force Ones, ever.
So I was thinking about getting some. I want to buy a pair, but I just don't know. They look like they would run really big. For some reason, because they're wide, and I've seen people on your fit, like when
they're
you buy
true to size, so you're not going to be you're in the toe box. You're not going to be jammed up against the front of the shoe, and they do run wider in the toe box.
Okay, because somebody said go a half size down because of the toe box and the width. It'll crease.
It's possible that I can see that, and again, it just so every foot is different. I always went with my true size and never had an issue.
No creasing issues.
No,
like
and
that?
A lot of times mine
normal.
Would be on the outside of the of my foot.
Uh-huh.
It would get sore if it doesn't fit right.
Yeah.
And I've never had that issue with Air Force One.
You, Nick, you have no.
I thought they were comfortable, but they were years ago. I mean, I haven't owned a pair, and I mean, when you made that analogy about women and high heels, it made me not want to ever buy a pair of Air Force Ones again, but. Yeah,
right.
when I bought them 10 years ago,
your calves.
I mean, I felt like they were comfortable. I
look good in a skirt. I mean, come on, what's wrong with
wear them with a suit, pantsuit?
Michael Forbes said, "Hey, I'm in Portland this week. When are you? Do you have a Thursday show?" I said, "Yeah, I'm at Harvey's downtown, and I'm there Saturday." Yeah,
and he's staying at the beach.
No. Actually, you know what? I didn't go Airbnb after all, by the way.
No, you didn't.
No, because the more I waited, the more they got booked. And I was, God, this is going to sound so mean. So I was down to like.
You? Never.
Well, I don't want people to get the wrong impression, but I've just, one of the thoughts that I had in general about Airbnb is like, what if I'm just staying with a creep? What if I'm just staying with like a weirdo, like this one chick was like a hippie and she was like, everything in my house is sustainable. I don't have napkins. I don't have paper towels. Like you, I have a washcloth. I was like, oh, hell no. I'm not. No, no, that's no.
She's like the president.
No microwave. Yeah, right. I don't know why.
It did. It sounded Trumpish.
No microwave, no TV. I was like, I'm not staying at this. I might as well just stay in a damn tent somewhere.
There's plenty of those people in Portland that'll show you where to stay.
Then there was this one guy, and he wasn't the most masculine guy based on this picture. And all the rooms in his house was like the forest room.
So what's the problem?
The unicorn room.
I just don't understand what you're getting at. Like,
dude, that would make for such great radio.
And I was like, I you know what? This is
booking for the adventure.
Yeah, but I'm thinking it would be my luck that he would be some creep that had cameras in all the rooms. I was like, I can't do it. So I just ended up using Amex points and got a hotel downtown. I just can't do it.
Please book that B&B.
No, you book it. Come on up with me.
Dude,
it was cheap. It was like $35 a night. Plus your dignity.
Amongst other things, depending on how the night goes.
Speaking of booking, are you coming tomorrow night to Vortex?
Yes, this time for sure.
You promise?
For sure. I'm not backing out.
You're going to chicken out or
nope,
no?
Nope.
All right. Are you going to be able to make it, Joel?
I'm going to the game.
Boxing class. Oh, you're going to the Astros game.
Yeah.
Okay. I see you, fancy pants. Well, you could still come. We're done by 6:30.
Dude, the game's at 4 o'clock.
Our show is not over till 4 o'clock.
Right. So as soon as we're done here, I'm going over there.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to Vortex. And Nick's going to go. And if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you need to get your big butt in shape, meet me at Vortex tomorrow. We're going to be there for the 5:30 boxing class. It's called the Rumble class. You should check it out. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. And you're probably thinking, what the heck does that mean to me, multi-sensory? Here's the cool thing. The boxing class, you don't have to worry about like all the lights on and everybody's watching you and you're embarrassed because you don't know how to throw a punch or you're exhausted. You're like Jordan, our sales guy. You're going to throw up based on the warm-up alone. No, it's not like that. The lights are dim. The music's pumping. Everybody's focused on their thing. Everybody's there to get in shape and have a good time. And that's exactly what you do in those Rumble classes and the ride classes. Those spin classes are so much fun. They're difficult, but they're fun. And you get a full body workout in just 45 minutes. That's the other great thing about it. Classes are super easy to schedule online. You can do it when you're there, and you can do individual classes for $25 for a spin or a Rumble class, $40 for an unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week, and a monthly unlimited Rumble or ride membership is only $195 a month. The ride studio is badass, too. 3 rows of bikes, 48 in total. You're going to love that thing, man. It's a great workout. And when I'm done with the ride classes, I'm just like smiling ear to ear because it's such a grueling but fun workout. The boxing classes are great. You get to take out some aggression from the day. And here's the best part about all of it. All the ladies there look really smart, if you know what I'm saying. Like, they're very smart ladies. Lots of although they made me look bad in the ride class, They look smart. How about that? So sign up, man. Come out. Hang out with us. Do the boxing class with Nick and me tomorrow. 1707 West Gray. VortexTexas.com online. You can sign up. You can get out there. You can reserve a bag. You can reserve a ride, a spin class. It's super easy to do. VortexTexas.com. VortexTexas.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, how you doing? We're doing good. Hour number two of the three-hour show, and we're getting into some baseball now. And that is a very good thing because there is plenty to talk about. We've got lots going on after the first two games at Fenway between the Astros and the Boston Red Sox. And now we've got, what do we call it, Pine Tar Gate? There's plenty going on social media this morning based on the fact that a few Red Sox pitchers, video has surfaced, including David Price last night, using some sticky substances on his forearm while pitching in the cold weather. So with that, we go to our foremost expert on baseball and Astros, Jeff Blum. Blummer, always appreciate you spending some time with us. And I know you have nothing to do now that you're not on TV anymore, but you know what? Your time is valuable, and we appreciate you.
No, I appreciate being on. Yeah, four kids, no work. Yeah, there's nothing to do.
It's a cakewalk, brother. You're just coasting right now.
So you just quit at four, huh? You didn't want to just, you know, eight maybe, something like that?
Trust me, when they give me three at once, I knew that was time to quit.
Go for the boy. Go for the boy.
You're insane.
All
man,
right.
I've already got to work until I'm about 92 to get through this.
And think about the weddings you got to pay for.
Yeah, that's going to be frightening.
How hard is it to sit down and watch a game with four kids? I don't have any kids, Blummer, so I have no idea. Is it next to impossible?
It's interesting to say the least, just because there's so much peripheral action, you know, with you know, drama with four girls and then trying to watch the game and, you know, trying to mute the TV, trying to get the radio on, trying to get my Twitter feed up. Yeah, there's a lot going on. So multitasking is a new tool I've got.
Nice.
All right, let's get down to it. You and I were going back and forth on this. There's the video of David Price last night using whether it's pine tar or the spray stick or whatever it is on his forearm. Last series, Matt Barnes looked like he had some pine tar on his non-throwing arm. Of course, people trying to get Trevor Bauer to engage in it and everybody else. We know these kind of things have been talked about. People correlate that with spin rate and all the success the Astros pitchers have had. That's where Bauer comes into the play. What's your take on all of this for the people out there in terms of, you know, what you saw? How common is it, and is it an issue?
All right, yeah, bear with me a little bit, because this is something that we've actually talked about on our broadcast, because obviously we catch shots of guys going to their forearms, going to their mouth, you know, and various other things. But I think what we're starting to see now is something that I've never, as a player, I knew guys did it, and I had no problem with it, because I understood that if they had a better grip on the ball, they were going to throw better pitches, yes, but they were also going to be in the strike zone and not waffle me with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. cold evenings have a tendency to ramp things up as far as grip, because it's tough to grip a cold baseball with a cold hand. So they're going to go for a little extra grip. Now, all that being said, and understanding that it is a part of the game, and I understand where Trevor Bauer is coming from, because the Astros do get better, but I think the Astros got better because they have the analytics and they have TrackMan and they have Brent Strom, who really understands how to teach and translate how to create spin and maximize, you know, the efficiency of a pitching delivery. All that being said, what happened in the first game with Joe West checking Martin Maldonado's glove is why I'm a little hot about him not going out and checking other guys. Why is it okay for Joe West to interject himself into the game again and go check the catcher's glove for the Houston Astros, where there's always been a conspiracy theory around it? And then when you see a guy like Matt Barnes grabbing the shiny stuff on a not-so-sweaty night to get a better grip, or you see Craig Kimbrell's hat, the bill of his cap, with a clear, you know, substance on the bill of the cap, why is it not okay to go check those guys? Because you've opened Pandora's box by checking the glove of Martin Maldonado. Now you need to follow through and do it on both sides. That's my only problem. Because if he didn't check Martin's glove, forget it. No holds barred. Let's go. But the fact that he opened it up by checking Martin Maldonado's glove is where I have an issue with him not checking those other guys.
Blummer, I've always wondered that when you look at a pitcher, you'll see them go to their hat, and they usually have one thumb underneath the bill and two on top. And I've always thought, is there something there that they're using just to grip the ball better, or is their hat always getting that crooked? Is there something to that? Because their hat's got to be not moving that much, right?
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, there's places to hide it. I mean, guys have hit it, you know, in the crotch of their pants where nobody's looking, where they can grab every once in a while, underneath the bill of the cap, the back of the hat. Clayton Kershaw is a guy, if you watch the Dodgers game when Clayton Kershaw pitches, it looks like his hat's about 15 years old and has just a glob of something on the back of the hat. And, you know, nobody says anything about that. I'm not sure if, you know, reputation predicates whether or not you check a guy or not. But there are plenty of places inside the belt loop. I mean, they're all over the parts of the uniform that you can go to put a substance on. You know, guys with dark gloves have a tendency to have that stuff in there. And to be honest, again, I've sent out pictures on my Twitter feed and on my Instagram of my glove that I played for 9 years playing third base. I put pine tar in the middle of my glove because it cut down on spin when the ball hit my glove. And if the pitcher needed a little bit extra, I might rub a little bit on there and throw it back to him. So it's a part of the game and the gamesmanship. Again, it's just the fact that Joe West went out of his way to check a catcher's glove. Then why is everybody else not held to the same scrutiny?
Well, and here's the other thing, Blubber, you and I were talking about. The fact of the matter is, Cora played the first card. Whether
Before you throw Cora into the mix, and I know I tweeted out that, you know, usually it's the other team that will initiate the check.
Right.
But I have reason to believe, very strong reason to believe, that it was Joe West out of his own volition.
Really?
Wow.
Now, what would cause that? I mean, why would the crew chief and an umpire, out of his own choice, go after the catcher's mitt? And how does he get tipped off on something like that?
That's the ultimate question.
Wow. Because the other thing is, now, regardless of if it was Cora or anybody else, it's going to be an issue the rest of the series. The media is going to get a hold of it as well. And you know that, you know, unless the Astros run the clean sweep here at Minute Maid, if they go back to Boston, where, again, like you mentioned, it's imperative for a lot of pitchers to make sure that they have a grip on the ball. And the only way that they can do that in cold weather is to go to something. Now, when you go back to Boston, it seems like Boston's pitchers are the ones that got caught. They do it. I don't know if the Astros did it or not, but all we know is they seem to have a pattern of doing it, and they're going to be watching like a hawk from this point forward.
I hope they do. You know, it's just a matter of discretion. I know early on in the season, there was a lot of talk about the sunblock being used with the rosin, and there's a certain, you know, there's a certain mix that every ball club, I think every bullpen kind of takes pride in creating some kind of mix to go out there. But now that it's in the forefront, and now that you're covering games both on social media and you've got both sides of the fan bases keeping a pretty strong eye on things, there's cameras all over the ballpark. But at some point, you would imagine that Major League Baseball would step in and say, you know, either have a meeting with these guys underneath the stadium and say, hey, if you're going to do it, make sure you're a lot more discreet about it, because now the umpires, if they see anything, they're going to go out there and check. I think that would be the best way to do it.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRNP listener line. Jeff, last night there was a play, I forget who was at the plate, but there was a foul ball that hit off their arm. And this is one more question about Joe West that struck me as odd. It's not a reviewable play.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
It's not a reviewable play. The ball hit Jackie Bradley Jr. He was obviously he was called out. But the umpires get together, and I'm thinking to myself, well, at least they're working on getting it right. But then they go and I don't know if they asked the front office what's going on. It was very suspicious that they went and had that long conversation and then go to the replay. What were your thoughts on that? And again, was this something that Joe West just decided that he's above the game and the rules and can do what he wants?
A couple of interesting things. First of all, my boy Todd Callis was all over it with the rule book. He tweeted out a picture of the replay reviews that we have in our booth, so that we have the rules in front of us. And he did a great job on that. So I completely agree with Todd, because we have to understand that rule. That being said, the fact that Joe West, the crew chief, went to the replay review makes me question whether or not he understood the rule. If he didn't understand the rule and went over there, then all of a sudden MLB had to come out with that administrative loophole they just created out of thin air. So I'm kind of curious as to whether or not Joe West actually knew the rule, because if he knows that's the rule, that you can't argue that, like it's put in print that TK put out and what we talk about, then why even go over to the headset?
Yeah.
Because he should know immediately that is not a reviewable play and he cannot go over there. And that's what he should have explained to Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox. So in going over there, I think he put Major League Baseball in a bind, and they had to come out with an excuse.
And they really did. The Major League Baseball for one night became the NFL and tried to justify and make excuses for what was wrong across the board in a situation like that. And that's an embarrassment. That's a blemish that you don't want. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Martin Maldonado, too, because of the fact that at the time, with the wild pitches and or the pass balls with McCullers, it seemed like it wasn't going to factor in. But then, lo and behold, the Astros had the tying run on base, and you got a ball game in the ninth inning, and boy, it would be great to be one less run down. But is that – Verlander's had an issue, with a pass ball that cost a run with Maldonado? Is that something that's on Maldonado? Is it on McCullers? What was your take on all that?
You know what? Early on in the season when we first got Maldonado over, there were a couple of times where I think he was even surprised by some of the excessive movement that the Astros create. So it might have been a little bit of, you know, he's anticipating break, but maybe not anticipating as much break as he got from some of those guys. But at the same time, if you ask Maldonado, and, you know, he's a stand-up guy. He's going to go up there and he's going to say, I blew it. It was my fault. I'll do a better job next time. And I guarantee you that's what he's doing right now, is he's going to clear up the signs if it was a signs issue as far as being crossed up, or he's going to go out and he's going to really, you know, focus on watching the pitch all the way into the glove. But we're having base runners on base, and, you know, Martin Maldonado is a highly aggressive guy as far as picking behind guys or getting ready to throw guys out. Sometimes I think there's a little more, you know, intensity or intent to maybe make the catch and possibly make a back pick or be ready to throw a runner out if they're stealing, and you can get a little short as opposed to staying with the pitch. And it's not a lack of focus. It's just focusing on the wrong thing at the time instead of going step by step. But I was a little surprised to see it, but I expect Martin Maldonado to be the kind of catcher that's going to clean that up and hopefully not let it happen the rest of the playoffs.
All right, before we let you go, Jeff, I just wanted to ask you, they're coming back, the series tied 1-1. Is that advantage Houston? Is that a win for them to go up there and split on the road, or are you a bit disappointed that that one got away from you?
No, I'm not disappointed that got away from them. I think they're pretty happy going out there with a split. We've heard it, you know, the NBA, you know, hockey. Anytime you have these playoff series, it's to play for the split on the road and win out at home, and that's what the Astros did last year. They played extremely well at home in the playoffs. So I think they're very happy in a, you know, it's a hostile environment, but maybe not to the extent of Yankee Stadium. But they did a great job playing on the road. And I actually, you know, I give AJ credit because he actually got a couple of guys out of that bullpen into playoff game situations.
Yeah, Josh James in particular.
Like Josh James and Tony Sipp. So I think it's a good thing they're coming home 1-1.
So where, how do you see it playing out? They good? Even with Keuchel in game three, some people are saying Morton, but you, how do you see the series going from here?
Keuchel's going to be interesting just in this ballpark and some of those tough right-handed hitters at the top of the lineup. But Keuchel's comfortable here at Minute Maid, which I think goes far. It's a matter of him getting a game plan together and executing it, because we know Dallas Keuchel is one of those guys with a lack of velocity, can't go out there and absolutely blow the doors off guys. So he's got to be pretty effective and execute his command as best he can to get some swings and misses, soft contact, and ground balls. A lot of it's going to be predicated in those first two innings when he goes through the top part of that lineup. But if he gets in a groove and gets in a rhythm, it's going to be a good spot. And the way the Astros swing the bats at home in the playoffs, man, I like them being able to go out there and maybe slug a little bit with the Boston Red Sox against Eovaldi.
Good deal, man. Hey, we appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to be with us. Always a pleasure having you on. Jeff Blum of AT&T Sportsnet. Enjoy the rest of the series.
Thanks. You too, guys.
There you go. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the second half of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people over at the Houston Rockets. I'm not sure you're aware of this or not, but hey, the opening night is upon us. That means the Rockets are ready to open the schedule this Wednesday night against the New Orleans Pelicans, and you can be there. 713-627-DUNK is where you need to call if you're looking for tickets, or better yet, just head to rockets.com. If you haven't seen this or not, on opening night, the first 3,000 fans in attendance are going to get a James Harden MVP bobblehead presented by Toyota. It's sweet. Same outfit he wore when he accepted the MVP trophy with the shades and all. Very cool. There's going to be a Budweiser liftoff party starting at 4:30 with live music provided by Houston band The City. You get there early. You see Houston Texan Jadeveon Clowney shoot the ceremonial first shot. And again, all you got to do to get tickets, rockets.com. The Rockets are ready to start running it back. They want to chase the Warriors. They want to do great things again this year. They need you to be their sixth man. It's Wednesday night. It's H-Town. Let's all run as one and support the Rockets as they open up another season at Toyota Center. Again, rockets.com lets you see the brow against the beard in game number one.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Trey, you're in for Nick, which means you got to tell us, what's the midway point of the show mean? What are we? Where are we at?
Two in the rear, two in behind us, two left to go here on the usual suspect.
You're making Nick sound smooth right now. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show as we continue to roll on with the redheaded wonder behind the glass as Nick is taking care of some other things, kicking some ass. It's Barry, it's Joel, it is the usual suspects on a Monday.
Trey, what did you watch this weekend?
I watched Talladega, obviously, and I watched all the NFL games.
You watched all the games?
Yeah, I watched the Red Zone.
Well, that's not watching the games. That's watching the scoring plays of the games.
It's pretty close.
No, it's not the same thing.
Do you watch all the games?
No.
You just watch the Texans?
No, I watch like four or five games.
Oh.
And that I'm interested in. I record them all.
The Game Pass? Or?
No, I record whatever comes on and then I watch it. And if I can, you know, catch something online or whatever, I'll do that. Sometimes I'll watch the Red Zone, but yeah, I'll watch four or five games for sure. Tell me about this Talladega thing.
Well,
are you serious right now?
Okay, I'll give you a recap. Stuart Haas Racing.
Oh,
much
look at
dominated.
That. We got to go to break. It's been just messing with you. All right, so Talladega is a big deal in the racing community.
Huge deal. It was a pretty boring race.
It was?
Yes.
Why? Because they all just drove in a circle?
Stuart Haas pretty much dominated. Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, Eric Almirola, and who else? Clint Bowyer pretty much dominated the whole race. There was a big wreck at the end.
Oh, sweet.
They didn't throw a caution, so they let him race back to the checkered
flag. Was everyone wearing their seatbelts?
I think so. Kurt Busch ran out of gas.
Oh,
Eric Almirola
boy.
Won in the 10 car, something Danica Patrick could never do.
Ooh, I feel like that was a shot at women drivers.
No, just a shot at Danica.
Oh, okay.
There's plenty of good women race car drivers out there.
Is there? Is there?
There's Johanna Long.
How many races has she won?
Zero.
Oh,
but
okay.
Natalie Decker is a good race car driver.
How many races has she won?
Zero.
Oh,
Haley Deegan's a pretty good race car driver.
Wins.
One.
Okay. Well, she's the champion of all women drivers.
But it was
then.
In the K&N Pro Series.
Oh, well, who's what? I don't even know what that is.
She'll be up in a Cup Series here pretty soon.
Oh.
Thank you for letting me talk NASCAR.
I like that he just proclaimed it was over.
He didn't have
any more questions.
Just thank you for letting me talk NASCAR.
I know how passionate you are about it and how much you love it.
I love it a lot.
We never talk NASCAR. And if we have an expert on this show, I love to talk about it. And since we didn't, I figured you would be all right.
Thank you.
See what I did there, Trey?
You didn't have an expert?
Yeah,
I got you. You said I wasn't an expert?
I got you. No, you write for Sports Map, though, on the NASCAR,
that
right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's
I
good.
I predicted the winner, too.
Did you?
Yep.
That's good. Did you predict Tennessee would beat Auburn?
No, but Nick did that.
You're damn right he did. That's because you two guys are geniuses in there.
Nick's a genius.
I think you guys are about the same when it comes to intelligence. You and Nick, same exact. Look, he's so distracted right now. What? Joel's looking at me like, I hate you so much for
Indeed,
this segment.
At this point, you're absolutely right at this point.
Well, he told us it was a short segment, so I thought, you know what?
How is he ever going to do anything short?
Well, listen to me.
That's what my ex said.
See what okay, you created this monster.
He
Roll
said
it
was a four-minute segment that we had to, we don't get into anything important. So I figured, well, definitely NASCAR is not important.
I appreciate that.
I love you, Trey. You know that, right?
Of course.
I miss Monday movie moments with Trey. I wish that was a thing still. But we had to let it go. Rest in peace, Monday movie moments with Trey. Maybe we'll do Monday NASCAR moments with...
with Raheel and John.
Joel's like, hell no, we won't. I'll walk out of here right now.
Wow. That.
Best segment we've ever
had.
It
was a segment of my life I can't get back even if I wanted to. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, You can give us a call like Benny is doing right now, 713-780-3776, and we'll get you in as soon as we can. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Josh Pesikoff, his staff, do a fantastic job. They're local here. They're going to make sure that they cater to you and treat you like you would have a relationship with one of your best friends. They're going to be honest. They're not going to try and screw you over or pull the wool over your eyes, and they're going to talk you through everything that they're going to do. That means when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're not going to get an automated system that needs you to yell at the phone to try and get them to clearly enunciate things so that they can send you in the right direction. You're going to get a human being. They're going to ask you questions, find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for yourself and your family? And go from there so that they can set up a tailor-made plan directly made for you and your usage. You mentioned ESPN 97.5 and you get a $25 bill credit to get things going the right way. And if you have questions along the way or you want to prepare before you call, check infuseenergy.com and they will show you everything that they're going to do and the way that they're going to do it. They are great people doing great things in the energy business, and it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What just happened there? Headphones coming off? Man,
everything's coming off the rails with what's going on in the producer's room. With
it's wild.
Trey, Juggalo not Trey's Trey, in the building. That's what. Nick, he's playing with your mouse pad.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, Juggalo Trey touching my keyboard or Barry Warner touching my keyboard.
Oh, Barry Warner would be worse.
You think so?
Yeah.
Did you ask Trey to go clockwise with three circles with his left pointer
finger? It was my
fault.
He got one good positive text from NASCAR Johnny, because NASCAR Johnny is probably the nicest listener that we have. We've met NASCAR Johnny.
Yes.
And he gave him credit for his pick in NASCAR.
He did, and I didn't read it.
And you didn't read it, I deleted it. For good reason.
Intentionally.
I gave him the notice that NASCAR Johnny sent in that text, and now his germs is all over my keyboard.
He had to touch it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's being isolated.
Really? That was the most casually mentioned. That's being isolated.
Did you hear what you just said? Let's replay that.
No, I'm not going to play it. Oh, why not?
Oh, gosh. You're just the meanest person.
I was just in a bad mood because intern Trey touched my keyboard.
You're a mean and hateful man.
Are you becoming a germaphobe like Barry?
Mm-hmm.
No, but on the keyboard, yeah. I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not to Barry's extent at all. But
you realize
on the keyboard,
you're
and
closely
iPads,
talking into a mic that Trey just talked into, without a mic screen on it.
Well, because all the condoms here, the mic condoms here, are pretty filthy too.
That's why you bring your own.
Do you bring yours every
day?
Is that yours, really?
Indeed.
Yes. If you'll recall, like year and a half ago.
Yes.
I went and stole those out of AD's. Don't listen, AD. I went and stole those out of AD's cabinet.
Secret
stash
drawer.
I got five of them. I got the three of us one, and I got.
I love
friend
how
AJ
people.
One.
They, it's just okay to admit to stealing in this company. I just first they're, Raheel,
no,
now
no, no,
Barry.
I mean, Nick, it's
normal to just admit that you're thieving around here in the Gal Media hallways.
It's a community drawer. It's not a mailbox.
Do you remember when I stole the mic screens from AD's office?
I was being dramatic. They're right there in the drawer. They were always there. You could go and grab one whenever you needed one.
Okay.
Settle down, Nick. I know you still have PTSD from when Raheel stole from you.
I'm a little traumatized.
This wasn't in a mailbox. This was in a cabinet in a hallway.
God.
Yeah, God, you. So is it stealing if I go get paper from the supply room? Is it stealing if I go get a pen from the supply room?
That would
If
not
I had
be
a headache
stealing.
And I go get Tylenol from the medical kit, is it stealing?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
It's not over until we say it's over.
It's over now, boys, because Benny's on hold, and Benny wants to talk about the cowboy, Joe West.
Oh, sensitive-ass Nick.
Benny, what's up?
Did you just say when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Benny, Yes,
nope.
I did.
I'll fall for it, Benny.
You just said, anyway.
Benny, have you seen the movie? Anyway, have you seen the movie Animal House?
All right, so I watched these Astros. I watch these Astros games at a bar, and I have fun chatting with the local community, but most of them bandwagon fans, really low IQ idiots. But you know what? They're cheering on the Astros. More power to them. I like the Jeff Blum segment, and I have to say that when it comes to the replay thing, I have my own opinion on it.
Okay. Are you going to give it to us?
Meltdown. I kind of wonder, when it comes to officials, they have to have some form of like a meeting where there's like a point of emphasis. And I'm thinking, with the microscope that these baseball umpires are getting on, with how replay is showing how wrong they have been when the spotlight's the brightest, I'm wondering if somewhere they are going to the replay just for the sake of making the right call. And I know MLB will have their back and create some make-believe rule like they did last night with, getting an administrative interpretation or whatever. But I'm wondering if maybe this is like, hey, look, let's make sure these calls are right before we move forward. That way I know it's hard whenever it's going against the Astros, but if we were on the other end of it, I kind of think the Astros would be wanting to, you know, have the right call made if it was at our expense. But I'll hang up and listen to y'all chat. It's raining right here, so I probably shouldn't be driving and talking. So have a good day.
My goodness.
Appreciate it, Benny. Be careful out there. You want to go first?
No, you go first.
I mean, look, Joe West is to baseball what Joey Crawford was to basketball.
Uh-huh.
Joe West wants the show to be about him first and the game second, just like Joey Crawford did. And when you watch Joe, look, let's go back to the fact that most umpires, I don't care how fat you are, most umpires on a throw to second base are going to find a way to get your fat ass out of the way of the ball. But Cowboy Joe, he's going to take tough boobies right in the chest. Take that, baseball. I mean, get out of the way.
He's
in
not that.
So many different ways. Get out of the way. Let the game take care of itself. And that was you're right. The objective here is to get the call right. I get that. Right? But at the same time, if what Blummer says is true, and I have no reason to not believe Blummer 150%, but if that wasn't Cora having the glove checked, that was Joe West on his own, I just feel like he's trying to make himself relevant in a series that will take care of the relevancy of the game all by itself by having two great teams play each other.
My thought is, so the glove thing is one thing.
Right.
He was either tipped off or something.
Right.
He got wind of it somehow, some way. I'm not sure how, but then he took it upon himself, perhaps, and that's fine. The biggest beef I have is with the play with Jackie Bradley Jr., the foul ball off of his forearm. And I was glad, and I was saying when all six of the umpires get together and discuss, I'm like, well, this is good. At least they're going to get it right, or just say, you know what, we can't come to a consensus. The play stands. He's out. But then the fact that they go and they decide, well, we're going to go and have it reviewed, and you know, there was one umpire talking to AJ Hinch, but Joe West was leading that charge. And as the crew chief, I'm with Blummer when he said, I don't think he knew the rule book. Because otherwise, why do you go and review it if you can't? If it's not allowed, why are you out there? And why didn't somebody in baseball say, you guys, we can't review this for you. You blew the call, but you know what? The call stands. This is not reviewable. He's out. But instead, they overturned. So it'll be interesting to see what baseball says. I just think Joe West is kind of that, you know, he's going to do what he wants to do. He's very Angel Hernandez-ish when it comes to, hey, listen, I'm out here, I'm in charge. No matter what, I'm in charge.
Oh, that's for sure.
Isn't he the guy that took the player's cheat sheet from him?
Yep, sure is.
Yeah, that's not a foreign substance. That had been ruled on by baseball, but he decided, well, just to be safe, I'm taking the cheat sheet away from the guy until baseball says otherwise.
And then baseball had to come back and say, that he wasn't can't right. do that.
Yeah, because how are you going to be an umpire and not know all the rules of baseball?
But again, when I make the comparison to Joey Crawford, remember, he's the guy that threw Tim Duncan out of the game from the bench for doing nothing more than having a conversation with his teammates and having a little chuckle and a smirk, and he got reprimanded, and it stuck with him for quite a while. He got suspended because of it. So that's what I'm saying. When these guys think they're bigger than the game and act like it, we have plenty of evidence to be able to bring it up and say, this is exactly why someone would have that opinion.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Joe texted the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, by the way, dear God, 610 is talking about silver linings with the Texans.
I told you. I told you. I warned you wholeheartedly. If that's what you want to hear on your radio that's the day funny. After that game, I can tell you exactly where to go. And it's not to hell.
So that's funny. But also, Joe, what the hell are you doing over there?
Yeah, thanks for coming back. Now stay here.
Yeah, don't you leave. You sit down and you listen.
Now, one of the other things that Blummer and I were talking about, which was interesting because Garrett Cole actually took the time before he threw his first pitch last night to ask the umpire specifically, can I go to my mouth on the mound? Because normally it's a no-no. If you're going to go to your mouth, you're supposed to do it on...
has to be a certain temperature.
Only on the grass. Unless the umpire state,
correct,
due to weather conditions,
correct,
will allow you to go to your mouth tonight. But I'll tell you this, just like they let the pine tar and other things go, no pitcher during the course of the season is going and checking if it's okay. And most pitchers are going to their mouth on the mound the entire season. Why are you smirking?
None of that's going to be isolated.
It'll be isolated. It'll be isolated.
That's fine, but I'm just making
earlier
a point.
Earlier he had one, too, and I didn't even say it up. But you are correct. There's nobody's asking that. They just assume that at a certain temperature when it's cool out.
I think
out.
They just assume it's okay no matter what, because if you go earlier in the playoffs, Barry, in some warm weather conditions, there were guys that were blatantly going right hands right to the mouth on the mound.
I get it, but usually that'll during when they take the lineup cards out,
mm-hmm,
a lot of times I think the umpires will tell the bench coaches, hey, let the pitchers know. It's since it's cold out, they're allowed to.
Sure,
but
I'm saying in regular good temperature games, there are guys just blatantly going.
When it's like 95 degrees outside, really?
Yeah, and so I think baseball's gotten lax on that as well. All right, we got two in the books. We've got an hour still to go on the show, and we'd love to have you join the fray. We're going to continue to roll on. You should too. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.